بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم إحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everyone's Ramadan is going well, inshallah ta'ala. And jazakum khairan for everyone who attended the fundraiser yesterday. And may Allah accept all your humble donations and contributions, inshallah. And may Allah bless your Ramadan even further. So we're going to continue, inshallah, with our tafsir of Surah Hud, inshallah ta'ala. We're in ayahs numbers 12 to 14 now. We're hoping to finish that today. And we have a couple more if we can, inshallah, we'll see. Alhamdulillah, we're at a good pace. If you're wondering if we're going to finish it by the end of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we're at a perfect pace, inshallah. The surah is going to go into its stories in a couple more ayat. But again, we want to take out as many lessons as we can. The Quran is just a book of gems, you know, and it really talks to us like on a very personal level. So I don't want to miss those things. So any case, so last time when we were here, which was 2 days ago, the Quran spoke about qualities of mankind. If you remember, there were two specific qualities. It was that when we give mankind a blessing, then we take it away from him, then it becomes extremely ungrateful, right? So he becomes disappointed when a blessing is removed. And then when we replace that with some comfort, some external comfort that he can see and people can see, then that person starts to brag about it, saying that I'm the one who did it. So in one way, he's ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another way, he starts to attribute or say everything is from myself. So in both ways, he's not connecting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. Okay, so it's this narrow-mindedness that Allah Ta'ala is really highlighting here. It's that human beings, unfortunately, because of the way that we're living our lives, everything's always about me, myself, and I. And we, since everything's about me, if I'm not happy, if I'm not enjoying it, if I'm not feeling pleased, then I don't want to do this anymore. And so they're not living lives for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they're living lives for themselves. So Allah Ta'ala is making us be aware of the danger of the worship of the self. The greatest of all gods after Allah in our lives is ourself. We're so scared about these things, we're worried about ourselves all the time. So Allah Ta'ala wants us to expand it. He says this is a tragedy that human beings are like this. But it's not every single human, as we spoke about last time, that those who are patient and do good deeds can move beyond this. They can see that things are okay. If Allah Ta'ala takes away one blessing, there's still a billion other blessings that I have. And if Allah Ta'ala gives me a mercy, then that's from Him, you know, alhamdulillah. And I'm never going to forget that point. So they can move beyond this if they are patient and do good deeds. And they see that things are okay because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. And when you know Allah is in charge, then why are you worried? Right? So that's the big thing for us. May Allah make us like that. Ramadan is for us. And so the crux of this, we want to explain about the why. Why is Allah talking about these people? It's that there's no pleasing such people. People who are like this will never be satisfied. You know, we have to deal with a lot of this in the masjid work. Is that people... they always want that, you know, that there is always some type of entertainment, right? There has to be entertainment along with the ibadah. And so they're not just happy with just worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not against it, trust me. I enjoy that people should be happy. I think people should be happy. That's why I make jokes all the time, because I want you to be happy while you're listening and be engaged, inshallah. But the thing is that if that's the only reason why we do it, if that's the goal, then we're only worshiping our emotions. We're not worshiping Allah. And so we have to keep this in mind, that these types of people in life, and I hope it's not one of us, of course, but there's no pleasing such people. And some people will just never be satisfied, no matter what you do in life, because they're always looking for the next high, the next ambition, the next goal. They'll never be satisfied. So this is what leads into the next ayah and why it connects to the Prophet so beautifully. Okay? How is it so? فَلَعَلَّكَ تَارِكُمْ بَعْدَ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدَرُكَ أَيَّقُولُ لَوْلَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ مَلَكٌ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. This is a beautiful ayah, beautiful ayah. Allah Ta'ala says, so perhaps, فَلَعَلَّكَ تَارِكُمْ بَعْدَ مَا يُوحَىٰ إِلَيْكَ. Perhaps you will leave some of what has been revealed to you. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala saying to the Prophet, keep this in mind. Allah saying to the Prophet, so maybe it will be because of what they're doing, you're going to leave some of what has been revealed to you. You're going to abandon the wahi, the revelation. Or, أَوْضَائِكُمْ بِهِ صَدَرُكَ, and you feel distressed because they say, why hasn't a treasure been sent down with him? Oh, ja'ama hu malak. And why hasn't an angel come with him? Okay. So this is a very crucial part.
you obviously are thinking in your mind, maybe it's coming in your heart. It came in my heart when I read this ayah. I was like, how could it ever be that the Prophet ﷺ will leave anything, you know, of the wahi of Allah Ta'ala? Allah is not saying that he will leave it. He's saying that it might come into your heart that maybe if I just stop preaching certain things, or maybe if I start doing this thing, and because it makes my heart feel so strained. The word in Arabic is dayq or dayq. It means something which is so narrow or tightened, you know? When someone says something so mean to us or rude to us, our hearts start to feel, our chest start to feel compressed. Allah Ta'ala captures that in the word dayq, dayqun bihi sadruk. Your chest becomes so tight and hard. Because why? Because they say things like this, that if you're a prophet, why are you so poor? It's so sad, you know? They say, why are you so poor if you're a prophet? Why is there no treasure with you? Shouldn't you have some money? Shouldn't you have some type of wealth? You know, I thought, you know, if you're going to be someone, you know, to take care of the world, you should have some money with you. Where's your money? Or why isn't there an angel with you? If you are truly the messenger of Allah, there should be an angel with you walking wherever you go to tell everyone that you are speaking the truth. So why isn't these things there? Okay, so this is a very, 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 it's a very distasteful and very rude thing they're saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we know that there are two groups mentioned, the ungrateful and the patient, okay? So obviously, you know, about the two groups before, there was the ones that they, whenever anything bad happens, they attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they get so mad and upset, right? Those ungrateful people. And then the second group, which is the Muslims who are patient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're willing to go through everything. These two groups being mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam focused on the first group. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam focused on the first group. And before you start thinking, that why is he focused on this group that, you know, they don't seem to care, they're narrow-minded, and they're only self-centered, and all these things. Why are you, would you concern with such people, okay? I want you to know that you and I are not alone in this, okay? You might have told yourself while listening to this, like, oh, Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, why would you even be concerned if they say, why don't you have a treasure? Why don't you have an angel? I mean, obviously, you're not even responsible. Allah Ta'ala is the one who decides things, right? So why are you so worried about it? Okay, and so why are you feeling this from these types of people? And I want everyone to understand, if you're thinking like, how could the Prophet even feel this about this? I want you to know 100% he's not alone in this. 100% he's not alone in this. How do we know? Let's hear something that we might hear that's so familiar. What will the family say? For our Desi communities, what will the family say? It's one of the biggest things that keeps us away from practicing deen properly. Well, what happens? We get so nervous. And our chest become tightened. And we say, you know what? Whatever Allah Ta'ala has revealed, we can't do it anymore. What will the family say? What will the people say? What will everyone say? You know, we start to get worried. People will look at me weird. We say the same exact thing. If you're thinking that Allah Ta'ala was speaking about the Prophet system only, you have not understood what the Quran is trying to say. The Quran is telling us that we do the same exact thing. We get so bothered and worried and nervous. And our chest become tightened. And we start thinking, let's just leave Islam. Let's leave the religion of deen. Right? Let's leave everything just because these people are saying things. So we won't have our marriages properly anymore. We won't have them according to Sunnah. We will leave the outer aspects of Islam. Sometimes we won't pray on time. Sometimes we won't do this or that. Sometimes a girl will leave her hijab. Sometimes a man will feel so uncomfortable to look like a Muslim on the outside. So many things will happen because why? Because we're so worried about these people. Okay? And they're absurd claims. At least you could say that the Prophet ﷺ he's legitimately worried about these people. They said, if I bring a treasure, if I bring an angel, maybe they'll believe. He's so much better than us. He says, perhaps if I just leave this, they'll become Muslims. You and I are worried about our saving our own image. And the Prophet ﷺ is worried about their image on the Day of Judgment. Asman Zameen Farq, you know, he is completely different from us. So the Prophet ﷺ is legitimately, he's grieved by it. He's so saddened by it. He says, maybe if I just drop one word or one letter or one harakah, then these people have hidayah, they'll get to understanding. That's how much the Prophet ﷺ was thinking about it, okay? But Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet, O Prophet of Islam, and for you and I living in America, is that the right decision? That you start to tell yourself the sunnah of the Prophet, the way of Islam is not worth it anymore. Because these people will become upset. Everything's according to what they want. These people, these fickle people, these people that their emotions change on a dime, you know? Everything about them changes. One day they're happy, the other day they're upset. Our family members, we know how they are. People who are not religious, like really, we know how they are. They're just, you know, you can't please these people. You really can't make them happy. You buy them everything. You entertain them. You come to the house. You lead their salah. You do everything for them, yet they're still not happy with you. So is this the right decision for everyone who's listening to this? Is this the right decision? Are we going to leave our Islam because these people who can't seem to make up their minds, we're going to try to please them? Was that our job? So Allah Ta'ala says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ. You are only a warner. Your job is only to warn. If they accept or don't accept, that's not your responsibility. This is what happens. We start to conflate. We start saying, oh, our family will be upset. Or if we start doing our marriage a little bit less, we start to do a little bit less. You know, like, and I always encourage parents that, subhanAllah, you're going to spend $20,000 on the venue, just the place to rent it out. Said, how about you just give your son that $20,000 check? Say, son, this is for your future marriage, mashallah. He will love you at your he will lead your janazah. He will make dua for you every day because he'll always remember the favor that his parents done on him, mashallah. You know, like, the fact is, what if we just start practicing Islam, we'll see that our families start to become more united, more connected, more loving. But we have to become firm and just say, you know what, this is the rule of Islam, we'll do it. Well, if it means that we have to practice Islam on the outside, we'll do it. Because why? Because we're not responsible for anyone else. I'm only responsible for myself. Innama anta nadhir wallahu ala kulli shay'in wakeel. Beautiful way the ayah ends. And Allah takes care of all things. Don't worry about anyone else. Don't worry about anything else. Just worry about yourself and focus. This is the key word here. We lose focus. We're not focused in our lives. We're looking at everyone else and we're looking at what foolish things people say as if it even matters. As if it even matters. What people talk about us, what people say about us. One time Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu was told that such and such person was backbiting him. One person told him that this such and such person is backbiting him. So Imam Hanifa, he prepares one of the most finest plates and platters of sweets. All these khajur and mitai and mishti and all these things, mashallah. And he goes up to the door of the person that, you know, was doing the backbiting. He knocked on the door and the man came out. And then he said, oh, Hanifa, what are you doing here? He said, oh, I'm here to give you some sweets. He said, why? You know, mashallah, this is such a nice thing you're doing for me. Why are you doing this? He said, because you were backbiting me. So you gave me your good deeds. So at least I should give you some sweets. You know, like, why are we so worried about what people say? You know, and so our problems start when we start thinking that we influence other people's development. If you're thinking that, oh man, these people will start saying this or these people start saying this, you don't have any say. Even about our family, sometimes what happens is, as a husband or a wife, we want our spouse to change so badly, desperately, you know. We try to work and manipulate and start to make these edges and start to really put them in this little picture, you know, like we want to make them picturesque, right? So we start putting this frame around them and then we make life very difficult for them. Look, are we that much responsible for them? That's what you need to ask yourself. Are we that much responsible for them that we start to invert them and twist them and crumple them and try to make them the way I will be happy with? We're not responsible that much. Okay, you only can do so much. Even as a parent, and I remind parents this too, because parenting is tough. It's not easy to deal with children and make dua every day that they become good Muslims. You try your best. You try to make them pray salah and everything. And you're legitimately trying. Parents sometimes are legitimately so concerned, mashallah. May Allah reward you so much for all the efforts you've done behind your children. But there's only so much you can do sometimes. Sometimes the kid just gets connected with something really bad. And you start crying every night. And that's all you really can do. Don't get so beat up or caught up in these things. Just stop looking around. Ramadan is really teaching us something so beautiful here. Is that don't look around left and right anymore. Just look at yourself and Allah, because you can change yourself. I can be a better person. I know how much salah I'm praying. I know how many raka'at I'm doing. I know how much I can be patient and I can become more patient and I can pray more. I can do more dhikr and I know what I can do. And that's what we're responsible for. This ayah is telling the Prophet ﷺ and all of us by extension, don't look around anymore. Look at yourself and look at Allah. Just focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll take care of him. He'll take care of everyone else. When you start to focus on your own candle, and this is the thing, human beings, their hearts are all connected to each other. Really, they're all close to each other. And the thing is that if one heart gets lit, one heart becomes light, mashallah, it becomes full of flame, mashallah, it becomes a beautiful candle. What happens is the hearts right next to it start to become lit too. So when our hearts become lit with the love of Islam and Iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find that everyone else's heart starts to light up too. So this is the thing, when you focus on your own candle and you say, you know what, I got to build myself so I can become a firm candle. Then what happens is what, my candle will start lighting other candles. So this is the goal of what Islam is teaching us, that you just focus on yourself, develop yourself, build yourself, and you'll see by your own, just your own character and demeanor, people will change around you. May Allah make us like that, that we stay focused and not get concerned. So now here's the bigger question behind all this. And now you can see why Allah mentioned about these fickle people, these people that change on a dime, right? why are you focusing on their claims though? This is the next part. Why are you focusing on their claims? Oh, Prophet of Islam, alayhi salatu wasalam, you're focusing on their fake claim. They say, why doesn't the treasure come down with you as if you're responsible for that? They say you're claiming, you know, they say, why does an angel come down? You know, they're asking all these fake claims. They act like you have any authority over these things. So Allah Ta'ala says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they need to focus on the bigger questions. This Quran, the thing that we're talking about in the beginning of the surah, is going to go right back to them. They're dodging something which is really big, something really critical and something really crucial. And this is something Muslims need to present to non-Muslims. This Quran, because everyone tries to dodge it. They say, why does Islam say this about hijab? Or why does Islam say this about gender relations? Or why does Islam say this or that or violence or whatever? People have a whole list, of like a laundry list of things that they're against Islam about. That's fine. Let's start with the bigger question. Let's talk about this Quran, because this is our proof. This is our proof of wow, how Islam is the truth. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرِيَاتٍ وَدْعُوا مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully. Or do they say that he fabricated it? He made it up, the Quran. So Allah ta'ala says to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ. Then you bring 10 surahs like it, fabricate it, make them all up, invent them. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam made it up, you make up 10 surahs like it. وَدْعُوا مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Call whomsoever you can besides Allah in kuntum sadiqin, if you are speaking the truth, if you are truthful. So now let's look at it and let's understand what the argument here is. If he is a human, Prophet Muhammad is a human, then you are humans. And if he is a human and he is an Arab, then you are also Arabs. And the biggest point that they have over the Prophet is if he did not study poetry, then you all did study poetry. This is the thing. The Prophet was never a poet by Allah Ta'ala's design. He was never even allowed to learn poetry. The Prophet he didn't know how to read or write. He didn't know the poems of the people of the past. He wasn't near any of these people. He wasn't near any scripture. He wasn't near any writings of the Torah or Zabur or Injil or whatever. The Prophet was beyond these things. He was far from these things. So if he did not study poetry, then you all did. So then it would be what? That you should be able to produce 10 surahs like the Quran. 10 surahs like the Quran. Human beings by nature can copy people. When I explain this to people, I say, we can copy Sudesh and Shuraim. We can make our voices like other people. We can imitate people's styles. People can shoot a jump shot like this certain basketball player. And we can copy people's literary styles. The way people write, you can copy Shakespeare. You can copy, many different poets. You can copy many different writers, right? You can copy different people. And so the thing is that if he's a human like you guys, you should be able to copy it. Call, and Allah Ta'ala said, I'll make the challenge even bigger. Call man, jinn, Arab, non-Arab. Call everyone in the world. Call your idols. Call whoever you can to do what? Just to produce something. Everyone you know and don't know, produce, come together, write it up, make a draft, and come and produce something like the Quran. But they can't produce it. They can't produce it. They're dodging something very big. When people start saying outrageous things and propaganda and all these things, and I want you to know, especially you all, probably coming from families that are very difficult to deal with. Sometimes families are just jealous. Family members are probably the most jealous. If you're asking about the cases that do jadu and sihr on one another, majority of them are family members who are just very jealous of one another. Because why? Because my kid is messed up, but your kid is the one who's religious. My kid is the one who doesn't talk to me. This is the one who's calling you every day. People get very jealous. And so they dodge the bigger questions in life that, man, if only I was religious, I could have become like you. You know, so this is the thing about the Quraysh doing the same exact thing. They're dodging the bigger question. Why can't you produce something like the Quran? You need to answer this question. Forget about the angel and the treasures or whatever. Those are secondary things. Produce something like the Quran. They can't do it. So let alone the way it sounds or Arabic. We're not even asking about the other things because the Quran is a very deep book. As you saw, it speaks so deeply to our souls and our emotions and our mentalities. It's a very deep book, mashallah. Allah says just copy the Arabic. This is what the Quran also does. It starts to tell them what they're doing and their private conversations. You find in Surah Al-Muddathir, when Walid ibn Mughira goes home, he had a very big meeting with the Quraysh. Walid is the leader of the Quraysh at the time. Walid, he has a discussion. The Quraysh are telling themselves, what can we say about the Prophet? What can we say about this Muhammad? What can we say about Muhammad that would turn people away from him? Can we say he's like this? Can we say he's like this? Can we say he's a madman? Can we say he's a magician? Can we say he's a soothsayer, a fortune teller? What can we say? Walid hears all of these things, these claims they're making about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says none of these things they back. None of these things are strong enough. Because why? Because people can see the way he speaks. He's not a madman. He's not possessed. People can see the Quran and they can say that it's not poetry. It doesn't sound like any of our poetry. People can say this and this, and no one can seem to find up a good thing to say about the Quran. So Walid says, let me go home and I'll come back to you and I'll let you know. The whole night Walid is not sleeping. The whole night Walid is not sleeping. He is doing what at home? The Quran describes it like what? إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَصَرَ ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. He is pacing back and forth at home. He's thinking about this Quran the whole night. He's not sleeping. Just thinking about the Quran, thinking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's thinking about what he can say. So the Quran says, so be destroyed about what he's thinking about. Thumma nazar, then he starts to look. It starts, the Quran literally, it's like as if Allah has a camera in his house and he's saying like, you know, Walid is listening to this. And he's like, the Quran literally told me that when I started looking this way, the Quran said I was looking that way. Thumma adabara was stakbar, and I started pacing back and forth. The Quran said I was pacing back and forth. Thumma abasa wa basar, and I started to frown. The Quran said I started frowning. It literally had a zoomed in camera, a CCTV camera in the house of Walid, and it's all recorded in the Quran, you know? So the fact that the Quran is coming up with this, and finally Walid comes up and says, you know what, let's just call it magic. And Allah records in Surah Al-Muddathir that he says it's magic. It's telling them about what they're doing at home, their private conversations. What else does the Quran say? Tells them about stories that no one in their community knew about. The stories of Nuh alayhi salam. You're thinking the stories of Nuh? The Quraysh knew it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, no one knew about it in your community. He's narrating the story of Nuh to such a degree that we know exactly what happened in Nuh alayhi salam's household about his son who became a disbeliever. This is how much we know about Nuh alayhi salam. So this is stuff that the Quraysh never even talked about. Even the Jews, look at this. You know, they had rabbis who were living in Medina and they were always being shown the stories of the Quran about Musa alayhi salam, about Moses, about their own prophet, about Yusuf alayhi salam. All these prophets are being brought to them and each one of them is being given a story. Yet none of them are coming up with a refutation saying the Quran is making up lies. How did the prophets know any of these stories? How could it know any of these stories? It quotes passages of the Torah. I'll show you inshallah next time when we sit together. Tomorrow inshallah will be a very beautiful day. The next ayah is an amazing ayah. So it quotes passages of the Torah that which the rabbis were concealing. Things that they didn't want people to know about, the Quran actually exposes them. So you can imagine that if Quran gave you this type of challenge, you would easily tell yourself that no human being can know these things. No human being can know these things. And this is why as a Muslim, feel confident that what you're practicing is a real religion, a real deen, a real Islam. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ This is the last ayah that we'll do, inshallah. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Extraordinary, extraordinary. Allah says, so if they cannot respond to your call, fa'lam, then be assured, have knowledge, be content. And Allah is talking to not just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's talking to every single Muslim that's listening, that they were never able to produce something in Makkah and they haven't been able to produce something for 1400 years and they'll never be able to do so. Be assured in your heart that this has been sent down with the knowledge of Allah. The way that it can know about all these things is because Allah Ta'ala is the one who revealed the book. It came down from God. It came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No Christian can claim it. No Jew can claim it. No Hindu can claim it. No one in the world can claim what the Muslims can claim. That my book from beginning to end are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ And there is no God but Him. And Allah Ta'ala says at the end of the ayah, فَحَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ So do you submit? It's such a beautiful thing. Absolutely beautiful, mashallah. Allah at the end, he goes and says, everyone in the world, are you Muslims now? Are you finally willing to just give up and just make sajda and tell myself that if Allah told me to do it, it's the right thing to do, you know? Allah to give us understanding and tawfiq, allow us to benefit from the message of the Quran. And I'm telling you, mashallah, Surah Hud has many more gems to go through. Inshallah, Allah to allow us to benefit and allow us to connect even deeper with the Quran and deeper with Him, inshallah ta'ala, throughout the month of Ramadan. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعليه الصحة والجين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته